Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Really good.
Wonderful.
Hey, this week we are getting into a subject you've talked about before, but it's always good to review, and that is, how often should I update my estate plan? Now, first of all, you need to have an estate plan.
This is very,
that's the very,
very
first
true.
Thing.
Yes.
And how many people don't have that? But well, if you have an estate plan, is it once off and never touch it again? Probably not.
Yeah, boy, that's really the question of the day, isn't it? Is how often do we update this? Because there is a mentality that I've done it. I've got the paperwork. I've been able to accomplish the task. Look at me. I'm all grown up. Specifically, if you're in your 30s, have a young family, you get it when you start having kids or you start doing growing families, and all of a sudden it's like, I just adulted. Look at me go. And then it's put on the back burner. I remember when I graduated from law school, came back to the area, and I looked at my parents' stuff. I was still going to my aunt and uncle. And so, and here I am in my 40s. So it's a very common thing to let this part of our life be put on hold, to let it just kind of be at the back of our mind instead of at the forefront. And so it really is a big question. As a matter of fact, our system, we have what's called the estate planning life cycle. I've talked about this on previous shows. Of course, you can head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, and they're labeled for you. So head over there and listen to some other shows. But in the estate planning life cycle, it's a 8-part step that is a circle. That, in other words, you don't get off of it. One way or another, we're someplace in this cycle. And the first part is explore and educate. Then we engage. We actually do the documents. And then we need to make sure that our finances are integrated. Then that step number 4 is that we need a continuation commitment. Now, here's the problem with updating, is that that all sounds good. And I have a color chart that's fantastic. You would be very impressed if you could actually see my chart instead of having to listen to me talk about it on the radio. But the chart in portion number 4 says that we need a continuation commitment. In other words, we need to remain actively engaged with your estate plan by maintaining relationship with the firm. Now, that's where it all falls apart.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that the legal industry has done a great disservice to the public at large. So, in other words, my own industry has created this mindset. And it's an unfortunate mindset, which is, if you get the document, you're good to go. And I don't know, other than my firm, and there's one other that that's kind of modeling after my firm in the area, that I don't know of any other firms, law firms out there, that actually have a strategic relationship program so that their clients have the confidence to call the office and get their stuff updated. So if that's the case, if law firms are not promoting remaining in relationship so that the attorney can watch over what's happening legally, so that families feel comfortable calling and saying, this is what's happening in the family, this is what's happening in my finances, do I need to make an adjustment? If those programs don't exist, then the public at large simply says, well, the attorney, who we're supposed to trust and you should trust, the attorney said, just for me, the client, to contact them, the attorney, whenever I think it's necessary. Well, how often do we really think about estate planning? I'm weird. I think about it all the time, but it's my job. Right? I come to studio every other week, so you have to listen to me, Mark. But for the most part, most people don't think about this stuff on a regular basis. And unfortunately, I really believe that it's an industry issue that has set up this fallacy. And we have harmed the very people that we're supposed to help because we don't have relationship at its core. So at my firm, everything is predicated, everything is built, the entire foundation of what we do is off of relationships. Yes, I believe that we do very, very good legal work. I believe that we truly sit down and try to explore and understand what tools people need. We only have a will or we have a trust. There's only two tools I can use. But which one depends on what your circumstances, what are your values, what do you want to accomplish? And I don't know what tool to use until we actually sit down and talk. So many attorneys out there are doing a great job of this initial intake. But then once the documents are done, then I find very, very little follow-up. So one of the bigger hurdles that we have in talking about this issue of getting things updated and, heck, even getting things started, I believe is a mentality that has been perpetuated by the industry itself. And it's unfortunate. I'm trying to break it down to a degree. And so relationship is critical in this area of estate planning. So how often do we need to get things updated? Well, a lot more than what people are. That is for darn sure.
What's the average? What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of different reports out there. And so, again, kind of this being my profession, I actually research these types of things, and articles will say different things. So let me take this question first, which is, out in the marketplace, if you read financial articles, if you read other opinions about how often should I get my estate plan redone, number one, there's a problem that most of the advice is coming from financial institutions instead of from the legal community. So that's a problem right there, is that I give kudos to the financial industry, to your financial advisor, to banks, to a lot of times even your employee services. They're the ones who are pushing people to get estate planning done. And so their language is you should really have it reviewed every 3 to 5 years. And so that's a good start. That's not overly offensive to me. The problem is, again, is that we go back to the I've got the document and I don't think about it mentality. That interrupts, because even though financial advisors, the financial institutions, even attorneys, which are actually the quieter voice in this topic, they would agree every 3 to 5 years is probably a pretty strong plan. But here's the real numbers. The real numbers are that if you have a trust, and this comes from a national organization, and this actually does come from the legal community. So this is a large group of attorneys tracking how long has it been since their clients have reviewed their estate plan. How do I know? Because when someone comes in, I ask them and they bring me the documents and I can look at the exact date of the last time that they did it. So if you utilize a trust instrument, the average time period between doing the trust and getting reviewed is 9.5 years.
Wow.
So nowhere close to the 3 to 5 years that the financial community would want you to do it. Now, if you use a will, it's even worse. It's double that. It's over 19 years, almost 20 years, if you use a will before you actually come back to an attorney and you lay it at their feet and you say, what do I need to do? Well, by that time, we're just thanking God you didn't die. So, because it would have been a colossal mess. Or even worse, actually, what's even worse, believe it or not, is if you had become incapacitated or if you had had a health emergency, it is even worse to use your old healthcare documents and specifically your old financial power of attorneys. That is even a worst case scenario. It actually would be better off if you die with an old will versus trying to use very old power of attorneys. So here we have trusts you pay more for trusts. The court looks at it as if you spent more time engaged in your estate planning process. Most courts look at trust as being an instrument that is more detailed and therefore gives greater, it speaks to the testator's intent greater than a will. And so courts typically give a higher status to trust, but yet people who use trust only go back to an attorney every, let's call it 10 years, someplace between 9 and 10 years. Mm. And if you have a will, almost 20. Mm. So those are massive gaps. Yeah. There's a lot that changes. So why does the financial industry kind of lead the way? Well, one of the reasons is that they want the security that if you run into a health issue, that the power of attorney that your agent is trying to use has ink that is relatively fresh. They would, if you really talk to them, they would love a power of attorney every other year, every third year at the most. As a matter of fact, I've gone to the Linwood area to probably 25 different banks in this area. So when I started my practice, literally feet on the ground, walking in the door and talking to bank managers, okay? It took me about 9 months to really go through all those different steps. But what I came to find is that almost to every single one of those banks that I visited, they said that they would rather have a financial power of attorney that is no more than 3 years old. Mm. So financial institutions as a whole say 3 to 5 years. Banks who actually have to use this power of attorney more often, they're saying, I don't want it to be more than 3 years old. But yet we have a gap where most of them are 9 or 20 years old. And so
Now why are they so concerned about how fresh the ink is, as you say?
Well, because we do change our mind, because we do have relationship differences. I mean, we're running up against a break, but maybe we can talk about as we come out of break. Why do we need to make these adjustments? Why do we need to bring this back to our attorney? Why do we need to be thinking about this? And there's so many different adjustments that happen in our life and in our finances and our relationships, that if we have an older document, it may not speak exactly what the current circumstance is. Mm. And so that makes financial institutions very insecure to say, well, I hope nothing happened in between. I hope that there wasn't another financial power of attorney that was created in between the one that I'm looking at that's now 15 or 20 years old. Mm. And so it creates a greater sense of insecurity that, that number one, the person who has created the document has not done something different, and that the relationship is still as strong and that person is still as trusted as they were 15 and 20 years ago. Okay. So it all comes down to intent. And a financial institution, well, they're going to protect themselves. Trust me, it's not to protect you. It's not so that you get the protection. They are concerned about being sued. And so if they're concerned about being sued, they want something that they can rely upon and stand upon that says, this is new and fresh, so therefore I can trust it. They're going to trust that document far more. And so we need to have a system in place that allows and actually promotes having your documents reviewed on a timely basis.
Okay. People are intrigued. They would like to maybe even just start an estate plan, or maybe get one reviewed. Maybe somebody has a plan they set up a few years ago with somebody else, but they maybe want to have it reviewed by you. I assume you can do all these things.
Absolutely.
How do people get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's educational opportunities coming up in the very near future, and there's also ways to communicate, get in contact with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show, this week with Paul, he's talking about how often we should update our estate plan. As long as we have an estate plan, of course, that's the first step, but you've got one. He said it's anywhere sometimes between 9, sometimes 20 years, depending on the type of plan you have, whether it's a will or a trust. And Paul, I have a sneaking suspicion that you think that it should be happening a lot more often than...
Yeah, absolutely.
10 or 20 years.
Yeah, in our system, we have a relationship program where we update everything every 3 years. And so we take that lower number. And again, that's what banks said that they really wanted. And so therefore, that's what we gave them, is that I created an entire program based upon what the financial institutions really are asking for. And again, if you were just to go on Google and start looking at how often should I update my estate plan, it's going to come up with multiple financial institutions speaking on this, on the topic, and they're almost verbatim 3 to 5 years.
Now, why is that? And you said it before the break, there's because they don't want to get sued, or
yeah.
Release the money to the wrong party or something.
That's right. They don't want the liability, and so so they're taking direction from somebody else. That's what a power of attorney does: is that it gives my power to speak on my behalf to somebody else. And so now they don't have the confidence that Paul Grant is now doing the speaking, but the person, my agent, is doing it, and it just creates an insecurity. So yes, it is for their own self-protection. They can chalk it up to say, well, we also want to protect the client, and that's great. There's many good financial institutions out there, and there's many good financial advisors where that really is their desire. But behind all that is a big company that wants to make sure that they're not sued.
So this is the scenario could be they get one that's 10 years old, and they kind of got the willies about that, and they find out that there's another part of the family that has one that's 1 year old.
Yeah.
Does that scenario come up a lot, like two different competing interests come forward with different kinds of trusts? Or?
Yeah, I can't say that it comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you right now that we have a phone call into the firm with this exact circumstance, which is a financial advisor has been using a power of attorney repetitively. And now the agent, so the person who has the authority to communicate to the advisor, they found out through the grapevine that who they're helping just did their estate plan. Well, if you hear that, typically an estate plan will include a will or a trust, and it will include a financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, an end-of-life document, HIPAA authorizations, and multiple other things. So if I find out that the person I'm trying to help just redid their estate plan, that's all they know, doesn't that bring an air of insecurity that says, well, did they just redo a financial power of attorney, and is mine any good? So now the agent, the person who is supposedly helping you, they have it's my opinion, they have a duty to actually investigate whether their power of attorney is still valid. Mm. And so now not only are you asking somebody to help you and step in the gap, usually it's adult kids, but sometimes we don't have trusted adult kids, or sometimes we don't have children. So we're asking somebody else to help us. Number one, that's already a pretty big ask, whether it's to your kids or to somebody else. Sure. But number two, now we're putting additional strain on the person who's trying to help you. Now, let's take it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. This is one of the main reasons why you need to be proactive in all of your estate planning documents, because you may need these documents. And if you need these documents, you're not the one who's using them. Someone else is. Mm. On your behalf. Mm. So if they go to a bank with a 10, 15, 20-year-old plan and they expect a smooth operation, they expect that all I got to do is lay this document down and I've got access because we've got bills piling up. And the bank looks at it and goes, you know what? I got to send this to our back office. I got to send this to our corporate attorneys. That is not the time that you want to hear that.
All right.
Because it's going to take 3 to 14 days for them to even find their attorney, let alone have their attorney review it. They all have these magical corporate attorneys in the background and nobody knows who they are. I can't even get a hold of them. So that is not the place. That is not the time. You need those documents to be updated so that your agent can have immediate proper authority that is up to date, that the institutions will recognize, accept, and make it as smooth of a transition as possible for the person who is helping you. They are helping you. So do them a favor. Do your job, which is update your documents. Make sure that they are at the highest legal and family level as they can possibly be, because if not, you're not only just asking somebody to help you, which is inconvenient, even if it's a kid, but now you're adding a millstone to that person and you are just making it that much more difficult. Typically, these are already high emotional times when we need to step in and help somebody. And so not only are we now emotional because we are helping somebody that we love and care about, but now the documents aren't working. Mm. Now the documents aren't clean. Now the documents are not accepted. That is truly not the position you want to put somebody in. I don't care how horrible of a kid they were. You really don't want to put your kid in that position. You don't want to put someone else, another family member, a sibling, or anyone else in the position to where that document is not quickly accepted and doing exactly what it's supposed to do. Look, you may think that this is a stretch, but this is how I see things in the Word of God, okay? So you're just going to have to, well, you can turn me off if you don't like it. So here you go. Luke 11. Now, I'm going to use a story. Luke 11, 24 is when Jesus was talking about that the strong man who is fully armed and guarding his own house and has his possessions safe, that when someone else is stronger and comes in, okay, if they are able to kick that person out, then if they do nothing, I want you to hear this, if they do nothing, ultimately that strong man comes back with more people in tow and takes over the house. So what is this parable talking about? Well, there's multiple different threads that this parable is talking about. Okay. It's talking about being in the Word of God and making sure that our heart is full of the Word, because the Word of God creates a resistance against the enemy in and of itself. And so to be a strong Christian, we need to be in the Word. We need to be proactive in our relationship with God so that it flourishes and that we are able to resist the enemy, resist temptation. When trials and tribulation come, we're set for the match and we're ready to demonstrate with God's word and push back against the enemy. But this is also what it is saying. If you are lazy, there is a consequence. This is a spiritual law. If you do not step up to the plate and act, you are going to be steamrolled. And then you're going to say, oh, God, why did this happen to me? And you're going to ask God a lot of questions. Mm. And really, the answer lies right here in Mark 11, which is you didn't do anything. I can't be the magic button. What's that Staples button? I forget what the staple button is, but you're supposed to push it. And all of a sudden, everything just magically turns in to a new system.
That was easy.
Yeah, it was easy. That's the button. That's my button. The easy button. You know what? That's not how God works. He's not your magic genie in a bottle to where you call upon him and all of a sudden everything just becomes okay. And then when it's not okay, we question God. He's not the one to be questioned. We are the ones to put the mirror on ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Where did I not align with your kingdom? So I'm going to use this scripture because it's a spiritual principle, and I'm going to make a call to action through the body of Christ, which says, pay attention. We need to have action to our faith. If you expect an estate plan to work, if you expect for others to help and come in and be present with you, then do your job. Let's be active as the body of Christ and actually show the world what we're supposed to be doing, which is taking responsibility and actually putting our faith into action. So the call to action is head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us. There's upcoming educational sessions. That is the first step in our life cycle. Take the first step. Get educated. Set your mind on doing what is good and right so that you can be protected and so you can protect your family. And so I hope this was helpful for a little bit of today's show. Be active. And head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com, some of the heart of Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.